Good morning, everyone. Welcome to class. This is the first class for the day, and this is day four. We really appreciate all the feedback we've been getting from you. It has been quite encouraging, and your level of engagement in the group has been phenomenal. I want to personally say thank you to everyone who has been following the lectures and participating in the group. We say thank you. Let's get started. What we would be looking at in the class today is financial planning. And these are the discussion points: the meaning of cost control, the need for cost control, how the cost control system works, effective cost control, financial forecasts, steps to creating your financial forecast, and pro forma statements. So, what is cost control? Cost control is the practice of identifying and reducing business expenses to increase profits. It aims at reducing inefficiencies and wastages and setting up predetermined costs and in achieving them. I know you must have heard that to increase profits, a business has to do two things. You either sell more, that is, you make more sales, or you reduce costs. Now, this topic is focused on the reducing cost strategy of increasing profits. Now, the question, why do you need to control the cost in your business? Why do you need to look for ways to reduce or to cut costs in your business? Now, number one is to improve profitability and competitiveness. To improve profitability and competitiveness. So this just aligns with what we just said, that the one of the ways that you can use to increase profitability is by cutting costs. Okay? Because when you cut costs, automatically the profit you will record at the end of the period will also increase. Now, the second reason why we need to cut or control costs is that it stimulates creativity, innovation, and initiative. I remember when I used to work as a training facility manager. I had applied to work as an apprentice trainer, but there was no opportunity in that department. But they had a training facility that wasn't making any money. So I decided to take on that challenge to see if I could unlock my entrepreneurial competencies and also to stick around just in case there was an opening in the training department. Now, the problem that I encountered was that the owner of the business in that particular period that I joined the organization was looking for ways to cut costs and had decided that he wasn't going to spend any more money in the training facility. That I wasn't going to put any more money into the training facility. Then I thought to myself, how was I going to attract clients? How was I going to attract clients? My biggest challenge at that point. How was I going to attract clients? So I thought of reducing the price, which is usually one of the first strategies that, you know, we think of when we want to increase, we're trying to increase sales. How do we reduce the price? But I found out that that would not work, because even if you reduce the price, the people that you would need to come and do business with you, if they don't know that you have reduced the price, or if they don't know that there's such a facility that, you know, charges that low to use the facility, they will still do business with you and you won't make any money. So how would people know that we existed? That just made me to conclude that only reducing the price wasn't going to work. But it could be effective, but it wasn't going to work if I don't get the right clients to know about it. So I had to put on my thinking cap. I had to activate my resourcefulness and I had to take initiative. If not, I go hungry. Although I also believed in the product. I also believed in the product. The training facility was a standard and high quality training facility. So I believed in the product. And I also needed to prove my value in the organization. And remember, to unlock your entrepreneurial competencies, you need to try new things and take risks. So I began to do some research and discovered two online tools that became my weapon. Remember, business is war and strategy is your weapon. So here are the tools that I discovered: Facebook groups and free business promotion websites. Facebook groups and free business promotion websites. So what I did was that I began to join Facebook groups where they had a lot of members that were trainers, consultants, and coaches. Then I also discovered that there were websites that would allow you to promote your business, because they were using those businesses to improve their profile so that they can get advertisements. So I discovered one new website that was a property website. So on that website, they had property for people that were looking for properties to rent, looking for properties to buy, looking for hotels, even event centers. And they also had a section where you could upload your training facility pictures if you had a training facility to, if you're running a training facility business. So I went on that website on my own. It was a free website. So I used my low quality phone back then. I took pictures of the training facility and I went and uploaded it on that website and became listed on the website. Then I also started becoming active on those groups where there were a lot of consultants and trainers. And on one of the groups, the owner of the group is still my good friend till today. She usually allow members to post promotions once a week. You could post promotion if you have any product that you're selling or services that you render. You could post it for free on that group. That was what I began to do. And in less than 2 months, I started attracting new clients and I didn't have to pay for advert. I started getting calls. And remember that I had reduced the price to about 50% of the industry average. So a lot of people who were going to the website, when they saw the ad, they didn't believe it. They would call and they would say, "Are you sure that this place exists?" They will now come by themselves to see the training facility. And whenever you come and you see the training facility, you cannot not do business with us. So that was how I got my first set of clients. But it was a strategy. The reduction in the price was a strategy, because I knew that once they came, they would not stop coming. And by the time I take the price back to close to the industry average, they would not stop coming. And that was exactly what happened. After about 3 months, we took the price back to the normal price. And those new clients that we are getting, they did not stop coming. Because what I needed them to do was to test. So in about 4 years, I had helped the training facility generate about three point something million naira without spending up to 100,000 naira in marketing cost. So the point that I'm trying to make is that if there was money to spend, I probably wouldn't have come up with all these ideas. We would have just thrown money into the problem using traditional marketing and promotional tools. So if you want your staff to become more creative, more innovative, to take initiative, reduce the amount of money that they have to work with and ask them to come up with solutions. And the third reason why there's a need for cost control is price reduction. And price reduction could lead to increase in sales and customer loyalty. I think we've really talked about it in some of our previous classes. So let's move on to how the cost control system works. How the cost control system works. You need to ask, what cost do I want to reduce and what is my target? So it's not okay to just say, I want to reduce cost in this department or in this area. You need to give yourself a target So there's a goal, there's something to work towards. Then you need to ask the question, how will this target be met? And who would be responsible for meeting the target? Who would be responsible for meeting the target? Are there things that you would need to do as a business owner to make it easier for those who would be responsible to meet the target? Or are there structures you need to put in place? Are there systems you need to put in place? You need to ask this question. Then after the set period, was the target met? If no, you need to ask the question, why? Why was the target not met? Now, after analyzing the reasons that were given, you need to come up with a better plan. Let us consider these two examples. Now, looking at cost control from a value chain perspective, remember, we have the primary value chain activities and the secondary value chain activities. So let's assume that you own the store and usually resell products. There are products that usually resell. You are a retailer. So in this scenario, your shop, you are a retailer, you are a reseller. So inbound activities, which is one of the primary activities, inbound logistic activities would be getting the goods from your supplier to your shop. So let's assume this is where you want to try to reduce cost, because on a weekly basis you spend 10,000 naira to get the products from the supplier's factory to your shop, because you order for inventory twice a week. Now when you start asking the question, how can I reduce the cost? How can I make this work? I need to reduce the cost. I need to reduce my logistic, my inbound logistic cost. So you may then remember that your next door neighbor has a bus and your supplier is located along the route that he follows to and back from work. So you can decide to approach this neighbor of yours and ask if he or she would be willing to help you out whenever you have made orders, to bring, to stop by and help to bring your goods. And if you have a good relationship with him or her and he or she agrees to help you do this at no cost, you have saved 10,000 naira weekly. You just made additional 10,000 naira profit. You see how this happens? When you begin to ask yourself the question, how can I reduce the cost? You've set, you've looked at the activity that you want to reduce the cost in, and you begin to look for ways of reducing the cost. Now, you may not be lucky to have a next door neighbor that has a bus, but how about looking at your operations, the internal structure of your shop? Is there a way that you could restructure your shop for it to take more stock so that you won't need to restock twice a week? If you can reduce it to once a week that you need to, buy inventory at the same cost of 5,000 naira instead of 10, you would have saved 5,000. So I'm not saying that these strategies or ideas would work, but what I'm saying is that the more you ask these questions and the more you put your minds to work, the more you will get ideas that you could play around with. Okay, so now let's consider this other illustration. And now I'm going to the banking sector. Let's assume that, this bank, there's a certain bank that is trying to reduce its cost in terms of setting up a new branch. And one of the policies in the bank is that for you to become a head of a branch, you must have attained a manager level. And the manager level in that branch earns 500,000 as monthly salary. So the question now comes up, why must the branch head of a branch have attained the manager level? And these were the assumptions. It must be a manager because they must have attained a certain level of experience, exposure, skills, and knowledge. So the question is there no way that we can help or equip the level that is just below the manager level with all these attributes? then people begin to brainstorm and think, okay, yeah, we can actually train them. But first of all, we need to change the structure. We need to change the policy and make it possible for people that are below the manager level to be branch heads. So it starts from the policy. So management will have to work on the policy. Then maybe let's just assume that the plan is to establish 10 new branches next year. This is January. And so they've come up with a plan. This is what we will do. We would start attaching assistant branch heads to the branch heads. Let's assume that the branch heads usually work alone before, but now you want to apply on the job training and also do external training for these assistant managers who would now be able to manage branches to become branch heads from next year. But to do that, you would have to incur an extra 50,000 naira on this assistant manager level, you know, staff. And let's assume that the assistant manager level staff earn 350,000 naira monthly. So you have incurred an extra 50,000 naira on these assistant manager level staff. And since it is 10 branches you want to establish the next year, you have 10 of these people. You've incurred extra 50,000 naira on each of them. That is 500,000 naira multiplied by 12 months. So the guys who used to earn 350,000 naira, that was your cost. The cost for you now is 400,000 naira per assistant manager for these 10 managers, that assistant managers that you want to train to become branch heads the next year. So this year that they are going to undergo this training, you would incur extra cost. Remember, you are trying to save cost, but you would have incurred extra cost. Let's do a little bit of mathematics here. So you have the what you would have paid normally for these 10 staff on their normal job duty is 350,000 naira times 10 staff times 12 months, which would come to about 42 million naira. But now you want to train them so that they can become branch heads the next year. Your cost increases to 400,000 naira per staff times 12 months, which will now come to about 48 million naira. So this year, at the end of this year, you have incurred an extra 6 million naira cost, and you are trying to reduce cost. It doesn't look like it makes sense, but because you have a plan, you would see where it begins to make sense from the next year. Now the next year comes and you establish your 10 branches, and instead of moving staff that are on the manager level to head those 10 branches, you take this 10 assistant manager level staff that you have trained to head those 10 branches, and their salary now goes back to 350,000 naira. So 350,000 naira times 10 people times 12 months will come back to 42 million naira. So this is where the magic happens. You know that if it were the normal structure, you would have sent 10 manager level staff to these 10 new branches, and the cost would have been 60 million. 10 times 500 times 12 would have been 60 million. But now you are paying how much? 42 million. So by the end of next year, what you would have saved would be 60 million that you would have spent minus 42 million. This brings you down to 18 million. So you've saved 18 million naira profit. From that 18 million naira profit that you have now made in the next year, subtract the 6 million in cost for this year, and you are still left with how much? 12 million naira. That is how it works. This is how management think. This is how forecasts are done. So you need to ask the question. Now, for this particular example, you can see that the activities where we've been able to cut costs, corporate infrastructure, and we leveraged the human resources management activity, training, Okay, so this is how you can leverage the value chain activity to reduce cost. Okay, now quickly move on to effective cost control. Effective cost control. For you to be able to carry out cost control effectively, you need to, first of all, have a business plan. You need to have a business plan. Then you must break costs down and identify cost increasing factors. Break the cost down to the particular individual that incurs the cost. Break the cost down to the particular individual that incurs the cost. And have targets and reward. You need to have targets and reward. So this is the target. Don't just say we want to reduce cost. By how much do you want to reduce cost? And now set reward. Okay, for members of staff that can reduce cost to this particular amount, they get this percentage. So let us look at a very simple illustration. Let's assume that you work with 10 marketers, and each marketer incurs a cost of 50,000 naira monthly. That brings you to 500,000 naira monthly, and you want to reduce the cost, and you set the target to 300,000. You want to reduce the cost from 500,000 to 300,000. So you now break it down to each individual, each marketer. That would be 30,000. So you've told them that you must reduce your cost, your monthly cost, from 50,000 to 30,000 naira. Now, this is the reward system. The marketer would earn 20% of the saved cost. So whatever amount of money that the marketer could save. So let's imagine that at the end of the month, the marketer spent 40,000 instead of the usual 50. Yes, the target of 30 was not met, but he saved 10,000. So on that 10,000 naira, he gets a reward of 20%. This would motivate the staff to even work harder the next month. Okay, so for effective cost control, these are the three strategies that you can apply. Now let's talk about financial forecast. We are back to accounting. We're going to move through this quite fast. We've come back to accounting. So financial forecast help you understand the steps you need to take and the numbers you need to hit to make growth happen for your business. A financial forecast tries to predict what your business will look like financially in the future. So remember the banking illustration that I just gave. So you can see that you've made the forecast. Okay, we want to reduce costs. So these are the things that we need to do so that we'll be able to hit the same profit. And as a matter of fact, make more profit without reducing the quality and without hiring more staff. So this is what financial forecast helps you to do. So steps to creating your financial forecast. Gather your records through proper record keeping. For you to be able to do forecast, or for you to be able to create any kind of financial forecast, you need data. You need your data. The way you have data or create data is by keeping records. Then you make a decision on how you will make your forecast. How will you make your forecast? There are two basic ways you can make your forecast. One, you can rely on historical data, or you can go into the market and conduct fresh research. As a matter of fact, then you can combine both historical data and your research. That's research-based strategy. So the one that is more powerful when it comes to investment or investors, attracting investors, is the research-based method. Because when you are relying on historical data, you are only relying on your past performance. You have not gone to the market to check, to make your analysis and find out if there are new threats, there are new opportunities. So you must conduct your research to know what's happening in the marketplace. That in that way, you'll be able to do a more accurate or prepare or create a more accurate forecast. So then the third step is to create performance statements. What is a performance statement? These are just like the financial statements you use each month to see how your business is performing. The only difference is that you prepare performance statements in advance for future months, years. The key performance statements every entrepreneur should be familiar with are 1. The income statement, 2. The cash flow statement, and 3. The balance sheet. So let's quickly look at the income statement. The pro forma income statement shows you how much you can expect to earn and how much you can expect to spend in the time ahead. On the left side, you can see a sample of an income statement. You can study this sample to see the components of an income statement. You have operating income, other income and expenses. So you can just take your time to study this sample, and you can also use this sample to prepare your own income statement. Then the cash flow statement. The pro forma cash flow statement shows you the probable amount of cash inflows and outflows expected in future periods for a specific duration of time. If you look on the left side, you can see another sample. You can go through it and use it in your own business. So the balance sheet. The pro forma balance sheet is a tabulation of future projections and can help your business manage your assets now for better results in the future. Still on the left side, you can see a sample. You can use the sample, go through it, see the components of the balance sheet. And if you go to Google, these samples, we took it from Google. If you go to Google, you will find several templates there that you can use in your business. So you can, in your spare time, go to Google, go through the different templates, find the template that works for you or that you can use. There are simpler templates there. But on second thought, just get an accountant. Get an accountant to work with so that you can focus on the main thing. Remember that an entrepreneur is someone who does not only work hard but work smart. And one of the ways you work smart is to look for people who are competent in certain areas of your business that are not so strong, and let them just handle it so that you can focus on your strengths. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about how you can outsource your weaknesses and focus on your strengths, outsource your weaknesses. Okay, so quickly, why forecast? Why? What is important? There are three basic importance. There are three basic importance that we have identified. So one is, the more robust your forecast, the better you will be able to plan the future of your business and think on your feet. Imagine if there's an opportunity for you to procure a particular equipment, but because you are not sure if you will have made enough money, but you know, at a certain period of time, you cannot confidently procure that equipment and tell the seller that by this time, I'll be able to pay you. But if you've done your forecast, you know that this income is coming, you know, at this time. So you can accurately tell the seller that I'm going to pay you, you know, at this particular time. I would have had enough funds to pay you at this particular time. You won't have that confidence and you can lose that opportunity because maybe the equipment is being sold for lower than it's usually sold, but you don't have the confidence to buy it because you have not done your forecast. You don't know if you'll have made enough money to be able to pay. So number two, you will impress investors and lenders by proving you've considered almost every possible outcome. There is nothing that builds an investor's confidence than the confidence of the entrepreneur that he wants to invest his money with. And one way you can boost your confidence as an entrepreneur is to have done your research and you have done your forecasts. So when the questions are coming, like, how would you be able to meet, you are not hesitating. You are coming up with answers straight. Like, I've done this. I've looked in the marketplace. We've analyzed the marketplace. We've analyzed our competitors. We have this competitive advantage. And so by this time, we have projected that, we have projections that this is the amount of sale that we would have made based on our competitive, you know, advantage, and our USP would have attracted this number of, and These are they now ask you, what about this threat, that threat? You say, okay, we have developed systems, or we are working on certain systems and structures that would help us to avoid the threat from, you know, having negative impact on our business. The guy is like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Your lender is solid. The confidence is solid. You know, so by having your forecast, you can prove that you've considered almost every possible outcome. Then finally, you'll also be able to prove that your business is on track for growth and is worth investing in. One thing is for you to have an idea and have some very high level of hope that you'll be able to sell this quantity of product and make this amount of money. Then another thing is for you to be able to prove it. With your forecast, you sound more believable. Because for you to have forecasts, it means you've done some research. So by having your forecast, you will also be able to prove that your business is on track for growth and is worth investing in. This brings us to the end of the financial planning class. And again, I want to say thank you for all the feedback that you've been sending in, and for being and for your engagement in the WhatsApp group. Please keep them coming in. Keep your questions coming in. Keep your feedback coming in. And I'll see you in the next class.